interesting taking a look at this Corey Kluber trade. A lot of people have looked at it as a salary dump. I think a lot of people are also looking at it as a really fascinating opportunity to bring in a guy like Emmanuel Clase, who can do a lot of things that many other pitchers in Major League Baseball can't do, and that's throw a triple-digit cutter. So I'm anxious to see what you think about this Corey Kluber trade.
Well, I think a lot of people thought that even though the Indians picked up the option, that, you know, more than likely Corey would be discussed again, you know, in the trade market. And, you know, as I wrote the other day, you know, when the trade happened, I felt like that, you know, his trade value per se was not as strong as it was maybe even a year ago at this time. And I think that age, and I think the injury obviously last year, where he only pitched in 7 games after getting hit on the hand down in Miami, and then he had the setback in September that didn't allow him to get back to the major league roster, really hurt some of that trade value. Now, you know, the Indians are in a situation where, you know, they're really, you know, trading from an area of strength. I mean, you know, you look at that rotation, and they won 93 games last year really without Kluber. I mean, again, he was only 2-3, and he only pitched in 7 games. So if you're going to sit here and say, well, the Indians really need him, would they like to have him? Probably. But on the other hand, you know, I think they look at the upside and saying, hey, we could get a reliever, like you mentioned, an Emmanuel Clase, who obviously has a lot of upside potential, was one of the better prospects in the Rangers organization as just a few years ago. And, you know, as like we've all heard about and seen some of the video on Twitter, this kid throws 3 digits. And you don't usually find that in a major league bullpen. And the Indians might not only have 1, but 2 guys that can do that this upcoming year. And, you know, that bullpen was very, very good last year. And I think that they know that, you know, there's some pieces and parts that they could add to that. And, you know, in the meantime, you also picked up Delano DeShields, who was the 8th pick in the draft back 9 years ago in 2010. And, you know, some people think that he's going to challenge for, you know, some time in the outfield. I don't know yet where he's going to fit in, you know, Andy, because really, you know, you've got Oscar Mercado penciled in, as well he should be with the year he had last year. But you've also got a returning Bradley Zimmer. Greg Allen still is in the mix. You know, Jordan Luplow, you've got obviously Jake Bowers. You've got a lot of pieces in that outfield. And, you know, I still think it wouldn't shock me in the least if they try to add another piece, you know, for a guy that maybe could play right field on a regular basis. I don't think they want to put Franmil Reyes out there. I think they'd like to keep him in the DH role, which is where he'll thrive. And, you know, potentially some people feel he'll hit 50 homers this year. So, you know, I see the Twitter, you know, anger. I see, you know, the people, oh, it's a salary dump, the Dolans are cheap, the whole thing all over again. I don't necessarily look at it that way from this perspective, as that is, this is a guy who's 33 years old, who's, you know, his arguably is on the downside of his career. I don't think anybody will argue that point, but is coming off a pretty significant injury, and while he should be 100% and he should help that Rangers rotation, there are still some question marks about him. And you know, the Indians are in this, you know, kind of gray area with Corey, where I think they felt like this was the time to trade him. What if he comes out and gets hurt again? Then what's his trade value? You know, I think that they felt like, okay, it's $17.5 million. We get him off the books. I think they're going to go out and look at, you know, guys that could potentially play the infield, either second or third. And I still think that they're going to be in the mix for an outfielder.
I think they will also. And I agree with everything you mentioned, because at the end of the day, Corey Kluber was expendable. Probably not something we thought we would have said a couple of years ago, but
no.
At this stage in his career, Corey Kluber is 100% expendable. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. At 33, the Indians have done a really nice job of developing a number of good young pitchers to strengthen the rotation. And again, that makes guys like Corey Kluber expendable. So they turn him around for a guy, as you mentioned, in Delino DeShields, who we don't really know where he's going to fit into the Indians' future plans. Maybe they flip him for somebody later, but he's part of a fairly crowded outfield right now. But Clase is the guy, I think, that really gets people excited because, Matt, I think with baseball moving this direction, where it's a 3-batter minimum now for relievers when they're called into these games, the Indians need guys like this who aren't one-trick ponies. They're not just matchup guys. They need guys who can face multiple batters, and I think that was a big reason for this deal.
And I think that you're going to see a very different type of baseball this year based on what you just said about that 3-batter minimum. And I think the way that Terry Francona manages is going to have to change a little bit. You know, it's going to be different. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, Terry was a matchup guy. And now, to be honest with you, that might be in the past because of this new rule. So, you know, Terry spoke to the media briefly yesterday. I haven't had a chance to hear it yet. I did see that we got the audio of it. I'm anxious to hear it. But I'm anxious to hear what else he said about it, because I know he's been pretty vocal. He does not like it. You know, I think it, you know, again, it does change a little bit of the purity of the game. I know that, you know, baseball has tried to stay with the times, if you will, a little bit, because they feel that, you know, that they're losing, you know, losing younger people, if you will. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I go to the ballpark on a daily basis, and I see a lot of young kids there, anywhere from ages of 5 up to, you know, 15, 20 years old. And, you know, I mean, has it changed? Yeah, sure, it's changed. But at the same time, I don't like some of the things that baseball has tried to do in the last, I'd say, 3-4 years to try to, you know, speed up the game, you know, make it this almost like, you know, sprint instead of a marathon. Listen, if you don't want to invest 3 hours of your day or 3.5 hours of your day watching a baseball game, don't watch it. You know, I mean, I hate to be like an old curmudgeon, but, you know, I mean, part of the beauty of baseball is that there is no time limits. There is no clock, per se. And you know, again, some things I do like when they try to make these rules. I don't know if I'm on board yet with this three pitcher thing. Or three batter thing, I should say, not three pitcher, but three batter thing. I'm going to have to see how it plays out. Cause to me, Andy, I think that, you know, again, you're kind of messing with the strategy of baseball when you do that. But, you know, for the Indians point of view, they've got to get guys in there that can pitch to more than one batter, because, you know, the rules aren't going to change just for the Indians. So it's, you know, a lot of teams are going to have to look at their bullpens a little differently come 2020 and beyond.
They certainly are. Now, for what it's worth, I do enjoy it because it forces guys to be a little bit better, not just matchup guys, lefties who can get lefties out and righties who can only get righties out. So I think it does make things a little more interesting, but that's a discussion we can have at a different time. I think the Indians, Matt, now that you take a look at what they have in the bullpen, you've got a guy in Nick Whitgren who can certainly get more than just three batters out. You've got Brad Hand, and even though last year didn't
end. He struggled.
Yeah, he struggled
second half, yeah.
But still, that's another guy that can get multiple batters out. He's not necessarily a matchup guy. You throw Class A into that mix. James Karinchak is also a guy I think the Indians feel really good about, not just throwing him out there to face one batter. So I think the Indians, at least based on what they have on paper, they seem to be a little bit ahead of the curve in that regard, in that they've already got four guys I can think of immediately that can certainly get more than just one guy out per appearance.
Well, and two guys that pitched a lot of innings out of that pen last year, and I can understand, you know, failing to mention them because they're just guys that you don't even sometimes think about, is Oliver Perez and Adam Simber. You know, so really, you know, let's go to six guys, and, you know, who knows if they're interested in bringing back Tyler Clippard, another guy that, you know, pitched a lot last year. He started a bunch of games when the Indians had to go to those bullpen games, if you will, on nights when guys would get injured or they had a doubleheader or something like that. So, you know, you could potentially have seven guys right now. Now, again, I don't know if Clipper's going to come back. I think he was just on a one-year deal, but, you know, you mentioned Whitgren, you mentioned obviously Brad Hand, you know, Karchek. I mean, there's a number of names out there that is going to make this very interesting for the Indians. And as I said earlier, you know, and you even said it, they're probably a little bit ahead of the curve as far as, you know, other teams in the majors. I think it's going to be a cold glass of water in the face to some teams who are not, you know, maybe not putting the emphasis on the bullpen like the Indians are and have. And now you add, again, Emmanuel Clase, a guy that can throw, you know, 100 miles an hour, and I think it just gives you another weapon out there. And, you know, obviously, I think if you look at where this team was and where this team is right now, you know, as I said earlier, you know, Corey Kluber only threw in seven games last year. I don't think, you know, I guess you want him back. Would you have wanted him back? Absolutely. But as I said earlier, he was a luxury this team felt that they could give up, and they certainly felt like this was a good deal for them. It saves them a pretty good chunk of change off their books to go out and get other players, and it gives them a very good reliever that I think has got a lot of upside potential at 21 years old, and an outfielder who can add to the mix, you know, steal some bases, and he's a very good defensive outfielder. If there's one thing about Delano DeShields, he can catch the ball. So, you know, maybe he's the type of guy that you'll see in the sixth, seventh, eighth inning of games when Terry goes to those defensive replacements.
Yes, if he's on the roster for opening day, that's exactly what he does. I think he's a guy that ends up being a situational player, right? You put him in late in games, whether that's as a pinch runner or as a defensive replacement. So I think that's probably the role that he serves. But to get to the first part of your answer about freeing up some money, I think that's the hope of many fans in the area, that they will use some of that money in the free agent market. Now, having said all that, there's a decent crop of second basemen out there on the free agent market currently. The third base market, it's okay. It seems like the guys that are available there maybe are a little bit older, but a lot of those guys in the free agent market that are second basemen, there's some pretty interesting names on there. Are there any guys that you like in particular on either one of those lists?
Well, the one name, and it popped up late Sunday night, and I wrote about it over at SI.com, is Carlos Hernandez, who, of course, was let go by the Phillies. Again, a nice player, a guy who I think would come to the Indians on a limited budget, if you will. I don't think they're going to have to pay him $10 million or anything like that. And I think a guy that would fit. I do. I think he would fit with this organization. And, you know, sometimes, you know, and Carlos has been in the National League his whole career. Sometimes making that switch from the American to the National and vice versa, it can be good and it can be bad. And I think if you're, you know, maybe Carlos Hernandez, maybe you're looking for a fresh start. And maybe you're looking to go to the American League. So it'll be interesting to see. His name was linked up to the Indians. I think it was John Heyman who wrote that late on Sunday, and we picked it up as well. So it'll be interesting to see. I know everybody's asking about Jason Kipnis. I'll tell you, to be honest with you right now, Andy, the only thing I'm seeing out of Jason Kipnis is vacation pictures on Instagram. I'm not seeing really – I haven't heard anything about him talking to any teams. I haven't heard anything about him, you know, maybe possibly coming back to the Indians, but – you know, the market is interesting. It's kind of similar a little bit to last year. The big names, well, even last year was a little different in that the big names took a little while, but this year the big names went fairly quickly, obviously Gerrit Cole being the biggest one, and then things have kind of slowed down a little bit, and I think you're going to continue to see that. I don't think you're going to see a myriad of activity between now and January, like say around the 5th, when everybody goes back to work after the holiday break. Then I think you'll see things pick up a little bit. We're about halfway through, if you really look at it, this off season, because obviously these guys start reporting to their training camps in February. So it's amazing to think about, but you know, the Indians are only about 2 months away from being back to work. So, you know, they've got work to do. We had some articles about that today. As a matter of fact, that now that the Kluber trade is in the books, this team still has some things they've got to get settled. And I think second base is probably the priority. As I mentioned earlier, a couple times, I don't think that they would hurt themselves by adding another outfielder either.
What does the name Jonathan Scope do for you? Do you think he's realistically a play for the Indians at second base?
I don't know affordability-wise if he's going to be able to, you know, if he's a guy that the Indians really want to, you know, kind of talk to, or, you know, or where he's at money-wise. I haven't heard a whole lot about him in terms of money, but, you know, you look at him and you know, obviously he's a guy that, you know, knows the American League very, very well. He's played with Baltimore. He's played with Minnesota. You know, he was an all-star just a couple of years ago, and he's still relatively young. I mean, he's only 28 years old. So, you know, 250 batter, like what he did in 17, obviously, he was an all-star. But you got to wonder, you know, is he priced out of the market right now? Is he going to have to come down a little bit in his price? Because obviously, when you look at him and when you talk about him, you know, there's not been a lot of activity, you know, aligned to his name, which means probably right now his agent is maybe looking a little bit too high. So if his price comes down, I'm sure the Indians would at least take a flyer and talk to his agent. But right now, I haven't heard a lot of people connected with that name. And as I said earlier, you wonder if, you know, he's trying to live off that all-star appearance from a couple of years ago. Hey, why not? This might be the biggest contract he gets at 28 years old. He could be in the prime of his career.
Yeah, his age certainly makes him all the more attractive compared to some of the other names on that list. And if we're to go back over to the third base for a second, you mentioned Cesar Hernandez of the Philadelphia Phillies at second base. He's on the market. But what about a guy he teamed up with last year in Michael Franco? He was a third baseman. He was non-tendered. He spent some time with the Phillies, and he had a few 20-plus home run seasons at the hot corner, but he kind of fills it off last year. Do you think a guy like that could potentially be in play for the Indians at third if they could convince Jose Ramirez to get back to second?
Well, and that's the big question. And I know that Jose has said that he would go back to second base, but the one thing about it is he doesn't want to have to switch back and forth. And I can respect that. I mean, Jose is at a point in his career where, you know, he's got some tenure. He's been an all-star a couple of times. He was hitting the ball extremely well last year when he got hurt. You know, when you're talking about a guy like Franco, I mean, obviously, like you mentioned, he's had a couple years of over 20 home runs, 22 home runs in 18, 24 home runs in 17. Tapered off a little bit last year, 17 home runs, and he only hit 234. So that could make his price come down a little bit, which, again, as we keep talking about, could interest the Indians. But to me, really, I think that second base and looking for an actual second baseman is still their priority. I really think that they like to say, you know, Jose, stay at third base. You know, somebody told me last year within the organization that, you know, the whole thing with Jose just going back and forth between third and second, that's kind of tapering off a little bit because Jose's, like you said, he's getting older. He's got a little tenure in him. You know, you certainly don't want a guy like him getting, upset or being a malcontent in that clubhouse because he's got to play a position that, you know, he doesn't want to. So, you know, making that transition over and over again between third and second is not easy. And I think Jose realizes it, and I think that's part of the reason why, you know, he's kind of told the Indians, you got to make a decision one way or another. I'll either stay at third or I'll go to second, but I don't want to go flipping and flopping. And I can respect that. Jose's at that point in his career where, as I keep saying, he's got tenure, and I expect him to stay at third, and I expect this team to again, be more in the second base market than they are the third base market.
And that second base market, at least for now, appears to be a little bit healthier. I think there's some more attractive names on there and perhaps some guys who are a little bit younger and show a little more upside as well. But it'll be a lot of fun for us to follow this the next couple of months here to see what the Indians are going to do at that spot and also to see what they might do with one of those corner outfield spots as well, because there are certainly some questions to be answered before they break camp in the middle of February. Lodi, always a pleasure, my man. Always great talking to you. There's not enough time to talk about the Frankie Lindor rumors. We'll do that at a different time. That's a whole other subject.
Yeah, we got plenty to talk about as far as that's concerned. We'll get to it next time. No problem, Bull.
Awesome. Lodi, thanks again for the time. Much appreciated.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good one.
You too. Again, Matt Lodi joining us. You can find all of Matt's work at SI.com, NEOSportsInsiders.com as well. I urge you to check out Matt's work at SI.com, the Cleveland Baseball Insiders. There's some really good stuff up there, and they've got some terrific content for you to keep an eye on. This has been a really interesting offseason for the Tribe.